This morning, we are diving right into our message, which we're continuing the series called One Verse Wonders. We're talking about the Bible's greatest hits and really focusing on one verse at a time and saying, how much can we begin to unpack from just one verse and see how the Lord would speak to us? So we're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, if you want to turn there with us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Excuse me. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is what it says. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you this morning for this verse. We thank you for that truth that it's revealing to us. We just pray this morning, God, is that as we open up our hearts to hear what you want to say to us by your Spirit, God, that you truly would begin to help us see how caring, how compassionate, loving of God you are. Lord, we come to you recognizing our need this morning, recognizing the fact that we have things to cast upon you, but we thank you that you welcome us to yourself. You welcome us wherever we are so you can care for us anew. We pray this in Jesus' name, and your church said, amen. You know, in the last few years, people have started to realize that young people's voices are often left out of bigger national conversations. But that's beginning to change with more surveys and studies created to really listen to what young people are saying, because oftentimes the young people that we listen to are showing us sort of the heart and soul of where people are at today and where society is going to be. A striking example of this kind of research emerges from the Teens and Screens study conducted by the Center for Scholars and Storytellers at UCLA, which surveyed 1,644 young people aged 10 to 24 across the U.S. And respondents were asked to rank a list of 14 personal goals according to their importance. And what the results revealed is actually quite sobering. Consider this, the top-rated goal among this generation is, quote, to be safe. The top-rated goal is to be safe. Not to change the world, not even to be famous, not to one day be wealthy, but first and foremost, safety. And that, I believe, is not just another statistic. It's a window into the soul of a generation learning to navigate life through the lens of fear. With school shootings on the rise, the economy unsettled, and then the recent pandemic leaving deep marks in our young people, there's also research on that. Safety is no longer a given. It's something we have to seek. And you add this to sort of the nonstop stream of crises in the news and online media, and it's no wonder we're reminded daily that the world that we live in feels quite unsafe and unsettled. And if this is the air that our kids are breathing day in and day out, where will they find rest? Where will they find peace that lasts? Or that confidence that can hold them? And you know, but it's not just really their question, it's our questions too, right? In a world flooded with fear and uncertainty, where do we turn? And right there, into that question, into the anxious hearts of every generation, God's word speaks with a clear and simple voice, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Friends, it's here we find the remedy for a culture steeped in fear. It's not about more plans or strategies per se, but it's about a gospel invitation to surrender our anxieties, to stop striving for imagined control over our life and to rest in the love of a deeply caring, personal God. But to feel the force of this verse, we need to understand its setting. Here, Peter writes to a letter to believers in the first century scattered and believers that are also suffering. If you actually read the whole letter, you'll notice the flow of 1 Peter kind of goes like this. First, he reminds these believers who are suffering about who they are in Christ in chapters 1 and 2. Then he shows them how to live out their faith in front of a watching world in chapters 2 through 4. And finally, in chapter 5, where we have our verse here today, he encourages them on how to endure together as the people of God that is hurting. And then right there, while urging humility and steadfastness, he gives this anchor: cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Excuse me. What we find here is that this verse gathers the whole letter's call to endurance and sets it squarely in God's sustaining care. And this is important. Peter doesn't downplay the pain or deny their reality. He's not just saying, oh, yeah, sure, everything's fine. No, he named the difficulty. He named what was actually happening. He didn't deny it. Notice this, the question then for Peter isn't if anxiety come, it's where to put it. And then he hands us a verb, cast. The word Peter uses here, it's translated cast, it was originally written in Greek to a Greek audience. We translate in our English, this word translates cast, meaning to throw something onto someone else that they carry it. So it's not just casting it to an empty place. Get this, Luke uses the same exact verb in Luke chapter 19 when the disciples threw their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus. In other words, it means a full release, handing over of the burden so that another shoulders it completely. Once the cloak was on that animal, the animal bore it. See, that's the picture that Peter's painting. It's a decisive transfer from one person to another divine person. And when Peter urges us to cast all our anxiety on him, he's speaking with the perspective of someone who saw Jesus carry the unimaginable weight of the cross. He knows firsthand that God can handle whatever worries we bring because the same one who bore the full weight of sin is more than able to carry whatever it is that we're carrying each day, amen? And that's good news. But one of the challenges, of course, is that many of us often treat prayer like venting or just like sharing a shopping list rather than a divine exchange. We talk to God, we maybe feel a little bit lighter for a few moments, say amen, and then pick up the same load again when we enter into the parking lot. But casting our cares is something deeper, right? It's about trusting God enough to actually let go and say, this belongs on your shoulders now. I'm no longer going to carry it. That's why the verse right before verse 7 is verse 6 in chapter 5. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. See, this is really important because humility is key here to being able to cast our anxiety on him. Because pride whispers, you know what, I can manage. Pride, I got it. I'm good and sufficient in and of myself. But humility confesses, I can't carry this. And in fact, I was never meant to. In other words, casting is actually one of the ways humility actually takes shape in the Christian life. And this is actually how it's always been. This isn't necessarily new. In Psalm 55, the poet David says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God cares for his people, friends. He cares for you. You know, for nearly 100 years in the city of Santa Fe in New Mexico, the city has held a public ritual called the burning of zozobra. Have you ever heard of this? The burning of zozobra is an annual festival. This word, zozobra, comes from the Spanish, where it means anxiety, worry, or sinking feeling, which makes sense since the giant puppet burned in Santa Fe, called zozobra, is each year meant to symbolize casting off gloom and troubles. So here's what happens. Each year, a 50-foot paper mache figure is built, paraded, and then set on fire as the crowd chants, "Burn him." And the point is simple. To take the city's worries each year and burn them up into nothing. Before the burning, residents are actually invited to come and see this paper mache figure and actually put their real burdens into it. Written fears, confessions, medical bills, report cards, parking tickets, even ashes of loved ones that they have mourned over the past year. And watching that paper mache symbolic figure of worry, of fear, of anxiety catch fire is a way of saying, I'm letting this go. In other words, this ritual uses flames as a reset button, a yearly way to face their gloom together as a city and start anew. And it reminds us that our anxieties have to land somewhere, right? They only can stay within us for so long. Eventually, they will come out. Have you ever discovered that beside myself? They have to land somewhere. And while zozobra offers a bonfire, Scripture offers a person. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Not into flames, but into the faithful hands of God. And into these hands, Peter says, we place everything. Notice this word all. All of your anxiety, all the things that pull you apart, not just the churchy things, not just the churchy cares. The whole spectrum of cares, from looming crisis to low-grade static in our lives. If it frays your focus, if it steals your sleep, if it shortens your patience, if it keeps reopening your thoughts, it belongs into the cast pile. Jesus speaks the same reality in Matthew 6 when he says, do not be anxious. And what reasons does he give for us not being anxious? Well, Matthew 6, 25 and then 32, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, well, what you'll eat or drink, or what about your body, what you'll wear, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, knowing God knows means that we ought not to worry. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, the Apostle Paul is talking about anxieties in terms of a swap. An exchange of panic for prayer. It says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. God's guarding peace instead of our spirals. And the point is, over and over again in Scripture, it tells us that whatever it is that's stealing peace, it belongs in the casting pile, all of it. Here's the truth. The Savior that carried your sin can carry everything else that you need him to as well. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too late. You know, there's a funny thing that happens when we finish a TV show that we love, a TV series, I should say. We're left with that bittersweet feeling of having to say goodbye to characters we love in a semi-parasocial way. We've become friends. So what do we do? Well, eventually, some of us will go back and rewatch the series again. Anybody? You ever drawn to a series you watch over and over again? You just want to veg out. Anybody else? A few of us? Research has shown that some people gravitate toward rewatching shows. Some of the most famous ones that people rewatch, they found, are like The Office, Parks and Recreation, Friends. There's others on the list. Because they provide comfort, like an old blanket or a warm cup of tea. Think about it this way. In a world that's constantly shifting beneath our feet, where nothing feels quite predictable, there's something undeniably soothing about returning to a world where everything is predictable. Same characters, same jokes for some of us, same laughing tracks, the same arc we already know and we love, we can enter into. So some researchers have actually asked the question, why do we keep going back? There's a research published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology that talks about moving back to familiarity provides psychological comfort in times of stress, uncertainty, anxiety, or loneliness. Now, it's no secret that the real world outside of our television seems increasingly disordered. So rewatching a familiar TV show provides that comfort and security, especially during moments when life feels anything but stable. The brain can relax. It knows where you're going. You're not tuning in to be surprised. In fact, you're tuning in because you won't be surprised. In other words, you're seeking comfort in a world that feels anything but predictable. And I believe this reveals a deeper hunger in our world. We're all seeking a place to rest our hearts, get this, where the ending seems secure. And thank goodness that there is a place even safer than our television. Scripture offers us better than a safe feeling, it offers us a safe person. The invitation of 1 Peter 5:7 isn't merely to soothe anxiety, it's to transfer your anxiety to a living, personal, relational God, get this, that deeply loves and cares about you. See, Peter isn't handing out a stress hack. He's lifting up the presence of God himself. The command casts rests on a deep character claim, which is that God is not apathetic about your life. He cares for you. See, trust is personal before it's practical. To cast your anxiety in him is to entrust yourself to him. It's not about finding your calm. It's about allowing him, in fact, to find you. The spiritual writer Henry Nouwen once said, "The question is not, how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by him?" See, Peter doesn't invite us just to turn toward feeling better about our lives. He directs us to a living God. Cast all your anxiety where? On him. And why is this personal God willing to take it upon himself? Well, Peter says it clearly, because he cares for you. Friends, this is a statement more than a sentiment. In fact, the cross is God's public proof of his care for you. Romans 8:32 puts it this way, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" This is basically an echo from Paul of what Jesus says before when he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place." The point is that if God in Jesus has already paid the price to make you his, he won't go silent over the bills that worry you, over the diagnosis that terrifies you. His care took him to the cross. Why would he not come close to you in the smallest of moments? Now, it's important to note what is meant by this word care. As we know, care doesn't always mean removal of trouble. Sometimes it does. We wish it always did. But here's what it always does mean. Sustaining through trouble. We're going to go back to that psalm we read earlier, Psalm 55:22. It says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and what? He will sustain you." The word sustain here is important. God may not always remove the storm today, but he gives himself in the middle of it. His peace will guard your heart. His strength will enable you to endure when you don't think you can. And his wisdom will guide you the next faithful step when you're unsure. In other words, his care is not distant. It is sustaining. It is present. And it is enough. Also notice this pronoun, you. Not just for people, but he cares for you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes anxiety, when we're dealing with it, I know for myself this is true, that anxiety tells us that we are the one case God seems to be overlooking at the moment. But this scripture reminds us of a truer promise, that he knows us by name. Friends, God knows you intimately, and he cares for you. Isaiah 43:1, God tells Israel, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Friends, this is a covenant promise handed to Israel, and it finds its fullest expression in Jesus Christ. Jesus knows his people by name. If I can have the worship team come forward. As they come forward and prepare, here's the million-dollar question that I'm sure many of you are probably asking. Yeah, this is great, but how do I practically cast my anxiety on the Lord and actually not just know about in my mind, but experience in my total being the Lord's care for me? Anxiety can plague us every day. Small things, big things, it can take different forms. So how do we practically cast it and experience God's care in the midst of it? Well, as I prayed for you this week, as I was preparing and asking God how to seek a way to help us experience God's peace more deeply, I realized we needed to do more than just talk about it. So instead of just simply teaching you about a practice, I want us to step into it together as a church this morning. And this practice, we've talked about it before, is contemplative prayer. Today, we're going to actually practice contemplative prayer right here, right now. And even better, it's a very simple and accessible way that you can actually take this practice home with you and use it every day to connect with God. Now, maybe you showed up here and you're like, I'm not signing up for this. Well, sorry, I have you a captive audience. But let me assure you, this isn't a complicated ritual or emptying your mind. It's simply us praying together as a church, being present with God, allowing him to do something inward. So here's what you need to know about contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is not about analyzing scripture or emptying our minds. It's about being present with God, handing him what we've been carrying, and receiving his peace in return. It's about presence over performance. It's trusting in a person more than it is a technique. It's not about chasing mystical moments or rehearsing worries on repeat, just trying to not get ourselves in a cycle. It's about actually gently turning our hearts and attention back to the one who can actually take these from us and give us what we need. So before we actually go to prayer, let me share a few simple things to keep in mind as you pray every day, today and every day, about how to center yourselves in God's love and care for you. First, as we're going to pray together this morning, we're going to slow our breathing and relax our bodies. And our mind naturally will begin to settle and our hearts become ready to let go of the burdens we've been carrying. And this is the moment to gently hand those worries to God. Second, distractions when you still yourselves are totally normal. Anybody ever start reading their Bible and immediately all the things you haven't thought about all day start coming to mind? Yeah, that's normal. You're not failing. If your thoughts drift, don't judge yourself. Just bring your attention back to God by softly repeating a short phrase like, "You care for me. Jesus, have mercy. Father, I'm yours. Holy Spirit, come." Whatever it is, a centering phrase to bring you back to God. And third, feel free to involve your body in as you pray. I encourage you to close your eyes and maybe open your hands as a simple way to symbolize a letting go and a receiving. Maybe you'll place your hand on an area where you feel tension, breathing out slowly and letting it go to God. Remember, this is important. God created us with bodies. I don't know if you guys have noticed that before, but But rather than being obstacles to our faith, they can actually be aids and tools to connect with God when we direct our full selves to him. And finally, here's the heart of it. Contemplative prayer isn't just telling God about what worries us. He knows that. It's actively giving over those anxieties to God and being patient enough to receive his care and receive his peace. Contemplative prayer isn't self-help. It's union with the living Christ. And who we connect with, and we're told in Hebrews 7, is actually right now praying and interceding for us. So as we begin this prayer together, we'll follow a simple four-step rhythm spelled out by the word care. It's a nice acrostic. It's a four-move rhythm. First is to come, to be still before God. Just to come to the Lord and just say, here I am. Then to acknowledge, to ask the Lord to name, to bring to mind one or three concrete anxieties that you brought in here today, that you don't want to leave with. Third, to release them, to place each one in Jesus' hands. And finally, to embrace. This is where we don't want to just let go. We open ourselves to be filled afresh by his peaceful presence. So worship team, as you guys just have the pad play in the background, I want to invite you to pray with me this morning. Can we close our eyes together? Together, let's just close our eyes and come fully into a moment of prayer with God. As you settle in, allow Psalm 46:10 to settle you. Be still and know that I am God. You may want to just repeat that. Be still and know that I'm God. Let's take a few moments to let that invitation settle. Allow yourself to become aware of God's presence in and with you this morning. Come before God, now we acknowledge. Now ask God, what am I carrying right now? What am I carrying right now? What are one to three specific things, worries, burdens that I've been holding on to this morning? Keep them simple and concrete. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts." Lord, reveal what it is that we've buried, that you want to unearth so that we can cast it. Third, let's release them. Now with your eyes closed, one by one, imagine placing each of those things into Jesus' hands this morning. See yourself actually handing over those worries and anxieties to him. Pray softly with Jesus, this belongs in your shoulders now. I release the outcome and the timeline to you. I choose trust over control. now I encourage you to personalize 1 Peter 5:7 by saying, Lord, I cast all my anxiety on you, and I thank you for caring for me. I release them. Finally, embrace. I want to encourage you with your eyes closed. If you feel comfortable doing so, if you don't, that's totally fine. Maybe posturing yourself by opening your hands, palms up as a sign of receiving. Or maybe you just even just slightly tilt your head to heaven and pray softly. Lord, I receive your peace. I receive your care for me this morning. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Lord, we rest in your peace this morning. We're thankful for your presence. And as we continue this prayerful posture, let's close in prayer. Father, you are strong and near. Lord, we open our hands and we cast all our anxiety on you because you care for us. Gather our scattered thoughts into your faithful care this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our burden bearer. Carry what we can't. Maybe there's some bills we're struggling with. Maybe the diagnosis we can't change. The relationships we can't fix. The futures we can't see. Lord, where we've treated prayer like venting or just a shopping list, Lord, teach us the art of a holy exchange this morning. Our worry for your peace. Our striving for your rest. And Holy Spirit, our comforter, quiet our bodies. Focus our minds. And Lord, give us a concrete step this morning to trust you today. And give us the courage to do it. Lord, make this reflex of casting our daily way. Lord, for the anxious, Father, grant guarding peace. This morning, for the cynical, Jesus, new hope. For the exhausted, Holy Spirit, new and strength. And Lord, knit us together so that no one carries alone. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we come to you, remembering, God, that this is all made possible because of your sacrifice for us. Lord, we thank you for your life poured out for us. We confess this morning, Lord, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Lord, you know we haven't loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And for that, Lord, we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Lord, we ask that you'd sanctify these gifts by your Holy Spirit, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, holy food and drink, for a new and unending life in him, and knit us together in love as we share this meal. Hear the good news, friends. By Christ's broken body and shed blood, we are forgiven, we are made one, and we receive the care of God. Take the body of Christ broken for you. Eat together. Take the blood of Christ shed for you. Drink together. Let's stand together. Now we're going to sing Firm Foundation. And as we do, I want to encourage you to bring your whole heart, your anxious parts, every hope and struggle in your life, every uncertainty about your future, your entire life, and place all the weight on Jesus. He is your steady rock. He is your firm foundation. Let us sing together. Lord, we thank you that we serve a strong God. We serve a steady God. Lord, Lord, that parable, this comes out of, Lord, where you say, build your life on solid rock, on solid ground. Lord, we just pray that we would begin to plant our trust in the unshakable kingdom of God. And everything else that comes to us, Lord, that seeks to plant itself with us, anxieties, fears, worries, we cast it on you. So we live in the care of a mighty God. Lord, we just pray that you would just give the courage, God, to us this week to live this out practically, to begin to take time, even 5 to 7 minutes a day, where we just begin to center ourselves, use contemplative prayer as a way to connect with you and cast all our anxiety in you and receive the care of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we can have our prayer teams come forward, if there's anything that you need prayer for this morning, don't walk out of here without one of these lovely people just being able to pray with you. Before I speak a blessing over you, I just want to one last time just remind you and encourage you to come out to our Fall Fest down the hill, all the way down. It's not just for families. There's tons of family activities with inflatable, jumping inflatables. There's food. There's hay rides. There's all sorts of stuff. But it's also a great time for just as a church family to connect. You don't have to stay the whole time. Love to see you stay for lunch. We pray a blessing for you. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let us walk with God this week, everyone.